God bless you. Amen. Amen. Why don't you just, amen, put your Bibles down. Amen. Amen. Make sure you got plenty enough elbow room. Amen. You can go ahead and smile if you want to. Amen. Whether you're a guest of ours this morning, you may be here, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be here, you're hurting. I want you all to join me as I lift my hands. Because, amen, the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. I didn't come to entertain you. I didn't come to make friends. We need a move of God like we've never had a move of God before. And I believe that the stage has been set. I believe that the time is now. I believe the games are over. And I believe the Lord's getting ready to come back. And I believe God has given us one more opportunity to get things right. So if you're hearing the sound of my voice, I want you to know today, as I was driving this morning into Cleveland, I haven't had much sleep. I got in late yesterday and went out and fellowshipped and went back to the evangelist quarters and I prayed before I went to bed. And the Holy Ghost woke me up this morning about 2 o'clock. And I immediately went into the church and began to pray. And I got a couple minutes of sleep and got up and took a shower. And as I drove into town, I began to weep. Pentecost Sunday, I begin to weep and the tears, amen, begin to flow. Cleveland needs Jesus. Our world is hurting. Alcohol won't get the job done. Drugs will not fill that void. The president doesn't have the answer. This world needs Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. Come on now, throw your hands in the air one more time in this building. Come on, let your voices be heard this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Shalabahaye, God, we need to hear from heaven this morning, Lord. I need you to saturate this place with your presence, God. Oh, I need you to bind up the brokenhearted this morning, Lord Jesus. Shalabahaye. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, we give honor to your pastor. Amen. For allowing us to fill this sacred desk in such a time as this. Amen. We were just in Florida preaching last weekend when your pastor and I changed conversations about being here this Sunday morning. And I believe God's going to do something today. I believe God's going to do something right now. Amen. I believe God wants to heal right now. I believe God wants to save somebody right now. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost wants to move in this place right now, this moment. Amen. So if you've got the Holy Ghost, I'm calling on you right now to exercise your faith this morning. Amen. This is an hour where we have to come out the closet. Amen. Stop being bashful. Stop being ashamed. The gospel says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed that Jesus washed my sins away. I'm not ashamed to profess, amen, that if it had not been for Jesus, amen, on my side, I'd be dead by now. But thank God that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Amen. For the black and the white and the educated and uneducated. He died for us. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you're going to have to, I don't know you, and you don't know me. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I know how we are when this is, now I'm not my good friend, Brother Hurt. Amen. He's one of my best friends. I'm going to get in here and jump in here and dive in here. And if you're not careful, you will get left behind. Amen. So we're going to jump on this ship and we're going to take off. And somewhere beyond here, when I get you back home, we may have a little turbulence. But I promise to land you safely. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 on Pentecost Sunday. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. Somebody shout power. Come on, you got to convince me you got the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout power.
Power.
Amen. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He's going to give you something. Because you can't fight this flesh and win. But I'm going to give you something. Amen. That's going to help you when times get tough. I'm going to not just walk with you. Now I want to be in you. I'm going to preach today, this morning, with the help of the Holy Ghost on the simple thought. Amen. The effects of Pentecost. The effects of Pentecost. Why don't you place your Bibles down again, if you're, amen. Why don't you close your eyes one more time in the house of the Lord? Amen. Why don't you lift those hands to the heavens and join me? God, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for a burden I feel this morning, God. Thank you for the heaviness, God. Oh, God, thank you, God, for the mercy and the grace that's in this place. But I would pray, God, that you would shake us this morning. God, that you would stir us this morning. God, we need you. Cleveland needs you, Lord. This world needs you, Jesus. A world in chaos needs the church in revival. Cleveland needs revival. Cleveland needs us, God. And I pray, Lord, right now that you would touch every individual. Let the Holy Ghost have his free course here today, God. And I promise to preach your word, God, faith believing, God. Give me the words to speak. I can't move or preach without the Holy Ghost, but God, you be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in that name, above every name, Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The effects of Pentecost. Amen. With this being Pentecost Sunday, it is very important that we understand that the church is on the move. We must understand today that the church is on the move. I believe that we were put in this pandemic and nothing goes unknown by God. God knew the exact time it would take place. God knew exactly who it was going to affect, and this just didn't affect one secular group of people. This caused the whole entire world to stop in its tracks. I believe it was at that moment, amen, that people began to pray who never prayed before. I believe it was that moment people who were backslidden from God began to make their way home. Amen. It was at that moment that the church had to struggle to find a way to get the gospel out. Amen. And I believe it was at that moment that hell was convinced that the church would be of none effect. We couldn't gather in buildings, and we were all kinds of opposition faced us at every hand. So we had to quickly adjust life to do what we could do to get the gospel out. But hear me, the Bible says that Amen. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. It did not tell us, amen, that the gates of hell will not try to attack us. Amen. But it told us, amen, no matter what the attacks may come against us, that they shall not prevail against the church. Amen. The called out ones, those who were called out of darkness into this marvelous life, those who repented of their sins, were water baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and those who were filled with the Holy Ghost make up the church. Amen. Jesus had the understanding that I'm going to leave now, disciples, but don't get weary. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to let you fight, amen, spiritual battles with carnal weapons. I'm not going to let you, amen, go through this life aimlessly without no help. So I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to give you some power on the inside that will reflect what's on the outside. Amen. I'm going to give you this power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's going to lead and guide you. I'm going to give you this Holy Ghost. Amen. That's going to cause you to talk right and act right. I'm going to give you this Holy Ghost. Amen. That's going to drive away all kinds of hatred that this world needs. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Amen. If you don't like your brother, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you love sin, you need the Holy Ghost. This world doesn't need another entertainment gadget. We don't need smoke machines and bright lights. We need to get a hold of the revelation that Jesus loves me and he wants to be filled with his spirit today. Amen. He takes these 120 and he says, you go to Jerusalem and you tarry. You wait for the promise of the Father. They went inside that upper room there. They waited. They waited in anticipation. Something was going to happen. They received a promise from God to go and to wait. And there they waited. And there they tarried. And on the outside of the upper room were men, I'm sure, were making fun of them because they gathered inside of this box and they waited and they waited and they waited. Amen. In all kinds of scrutiny, all kinds of uproar, they waited. Amen. They didn't go nowhere. They had a word from God. Just go and tarry. Amen. The problem with us today is we don't want to wait on God. We don't want to tarry. We want God to move on our time watch. But hear me, God does not go by my time watch. But if you'll ever get the revelation, if I'll just wait on God, he may not come when I want him to. But if I learn to wait on God, he's a God that will be there right on time. I want to preach to somebody today that you've been waiting all your life and the promise hasn't showed up. But I've got to tell you, keep on waiting. Come on, keep on waiting. Because just at that moment, when you think it's all over, suddenly there appeared a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it appeared on them cloven tongues as a fire. I'm preaching to you what this world needs, what Cleveland needs, is people full of the Holy Ghost and fire. What this world needs is for the church to stand up and be the church. If God's ever done anything for you, you need to stand up and testify. Because somebody in this building today may be broken and hurting. As I drove through Cleveland this morning, tears screaming down my face, and I said, God, I'm looking at people who are broken, people who are hurting. And the Holy Ghost says, that's okay. You go preach to the church that we've got to stand up and be a witness. Stand up. Come hell or high water, we've got to be a witness that God still moves and he still heals. Oh, yes, he does. gave them power. The Bible says they were in this room and all of a sudden, here comes this sound. Here comes this sound inside of that room. Shalabahoye. Hear me. Here comes this sound. I believe they were all in one mind and one accord. And here comes this sound in an upper room. And it just didn't feel one, but it filled the whole house. And now we are introduced to the church. We are now, the world is now introduced to the church. I want you to know that the church was not silent. They just didn't stagger out of that upper room, quiet and bashful and ashamed and intimate. No. But I believe as the doors open, we all like to use our imagination. I believe as the doors open, Pastor. Amen. I believe all eyes are looking at what was going to come out of that door. I believe one of those disciples walked out of that room and he was staggering because the Bible says that they looked at them and said, these men are drunk. They've lost their minds. I don't know about you. I used to drink back in my BC days, before Christ days. And every time I got drunk, Pastor, I didn't care what people thought about me. I didn't care what people said about me. I just tasted on something that made me feel good. Amen. When they came out of the upper room, they didn't care what people thought about them. Can I preach to the church today? When we leave the house of God, we're so concerned about what the world thinks. We're so bashful and we're backwards and we want to keep this all to ourselves. But when we get home, we turn on some Kirk Franklin music or some IBC music and man, we'll dance like we lost our minds. But we don't have a public display of the love of God in our life. They walked out of the upper room, man. They lost their mind. Amen. Peter said, wait a minute. Let me just put your questions to rest. These are not drunken as ye suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet that says, in the last days, said God, when they empty out, I'm going to pour in. I'm going to pour out my spirit among all flesh. Let me pause and preach right now. What we need right now is to empty out self so the Holy Ghost can pour into us something that will infuse us. We want the Holy Ghost, but we don't want the fire that goes with it. You can't have one without the other. The Bible tells that John begins to speak. And he said, there's one who's preferred before me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. But when he shows up, when the Messiah shows up, when the Lamb of God shows up, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I was raised in California practically half of my life. And we would get wildfires, man. It just seemed like every summer it was wildfire season. And I've learned something about wildfires. Wildfires are never meant to be contained to one spot. I've never in my life seen a wildfire that just contained to one secular spot. But a wildfire is meant to spread. A wildfire is meant to burn. And the Holy Ghost fire will burn out hatred. It'll burn out racism. It'll burn out a stony heart. It will burn out pride. Amen. Come on, somebody needs to get the Holy Ghost. If you're carrying around racism in your heart, get the Holy Ghost. If you're carrying around envy and strife, I feel like preaching right there. Because you can't enter to the gates of heaven with a cold heart. You gotta have the Holy Ghost. You gotta have God work on the inside. And he'll take care of the outside. Because God doesn't work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. And when you let God come in,
who have the Holy Ghost will stand and testify. It's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. Come on, give him praise. If you got the Holy Ghost, you need to stand and thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost, you need to thank him that you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, we're living in perilous times, and you got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to have yourself some flight fuel to when he raptures at the church. You're going to be called up to glory. You better get the heart preaching to somebody right now today. Don't you wait till this afternoon. Don't you wait till tomorrow. Don't you wait till next week. But you got a thirst and hunger for a move of God in your house right now. I got to have God come into my home and touch my life. I gotta have God come into my life and heal my body. Get the Holy Ghost and God will heal your body. Get the Holy Ghost and God will provide your job. Get the Holy Ghost.
It was here these disciples. The Bible says that they go into the temple to pray. They look into this old lame man who is lame. He's sitting by the gate called Beautiful. This guy was sitting there, and this all he knew was to beg for alms. The Bible says it was church folks who laid him by the gate every day because they laid him there, and they went to go pray. I pray that we never adapt that kind of mentality to where we pick and choose who has the right to enter into the house of God to worship. He was expected to receive alms, but one day something happened to him that changed his life. The Bible never tells us why he was collecting alms. The Bible never tells us why he was, I don't know, maybe we don't know, but case B, he was collecting alms every day. But here come two guys who were empowered by the Holy Ghost. They was on a plan and a purpose from God, and nothing was going to stop them from fulfilling the purpose of God for their life. Nothing was going to hinder them. Amen. They were on purpose for God. And the Bible says that here are these two disciples, and they looked at him and his condition. And notice what the Bible says is that one of the apostles said, hey, look on us. Look on us. He was expecting to receive something from them, but look on us. We don't have money. We don't have a credit card. We don't have a banker's account, and we don't have no checks. But what we do have is something that will heal your body. Something that will save your soul. And he said, now look on us. And he looked at them. And the Bible says that the apostle who was empowered with the Holy Ghost got him by the right hand and said, in the name of Jesus, that name that can heal cancer, that name that can heal diabetes, that name that can heal a broken life, that name that can heal shattered dreams. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says he grabbed him by the right hand. And this man who was lame, he leaped to his feet. Here's a man who had no hope. Every day he was at the gate of, he had no hope, man. Just give me some alms. What happens is, he let his situation, his condition, dictate to him, this is how it's always going to be. And there are people in the sound of my voice who walked in this building today, and you look at, you come in here with your Sunday best on, man. You got your nice suit on, you got your nice high heel shoes on, you got your nice dress on. But the moment you sit down, the devil says, look at your condition. You've always had the issues. You've always had the hurt and the pain and the bitterness. You've always had it here. You're never going to get any better. So just go and just sit there. We'll come into the house of God, man. The music is singing and the Holy Ghost is moving. The first thing in them it says is, look at your condition. You're lame. You don't deserve the right to be here. And while everyone else is clapping, and while somebody stands up and shouts, whoa, you sit there because you've allowed your condition to dictate to you, it's not going to get any better. There'll always be the hurt. There'll always be the struggle. God doesn't care about you. You'll sit there in that mess. It's not going to get any better. So you'll go home the same way you came. Because we fail to realize that there's power in this place. We were preaching in Florida last week, and man, I drove 11 hours. I'm excited to preach. We get there and the praise singer singing. I open up a Bible and the Holy Ghost started moving. People who were broken. No, she wasn't your typical Pentecostal. She didn't have a long skirt. No, she didn't have a long hair. No. She had a short skirt on. She had her hair cut. But the power of God started moving. She was sitting over by where her sister's standing here. And typically you think, well, God, let's give an altar call real quick. Let's see how this is going to pan out. So you give an altar call. And typically you're thinking, well, it'll be a backslider or it'll be just your Pentecostal. She just wants to go pray. So you're looking for the perfect person to come around to pray. But here was this lady. She stood up. Hair was cut. Short shirt, skirt, makeup on. She didn't care what people thought about her. Sometimes we think we let the people around us hold us hostage from getting a miracle from God. He's not going to force himself on you. You've got to come to where he is. And we will let Sister So-So and Brother John and beside us keep us from getting a miracle from God because we are so bashful about what they're going to think about. Hear me. If I was broken and disgusted, and if I was sick of the hand that life has dealt me, and I was in the presence of Almighty God, listen, I wouldn't let nobody stop me from getting to where he is. I wouldn't let my husband stop me. I wouldn't let my wife stop me. I wouldn't let time stop me. I wouldn't let my issue dictate. I've got to get to where Jesus is. I got to get a dose of the Holy Ghost. I got to have him roll this thing away. And whatever it takes, I've got to get to him. So she said, you know what? She marched away. She climbed up a couple of people and she ran to the front. Didn't take a preacher to lay his hands on him. No. She threw her hands in the air. Pastor, I watched the Holy Ghost begin to descend on her like a dove. She began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God had given her to others. Hear me. He's no respecter person. I just want to pause right here and let you know, ma'am or sir, don't you go home the same way you came. Don't you walk out of this building. Amen. Having repented of your sins because he's coming back. I don't care if you're 5 or 55. Don't you walk out of this building having not been baptized in Jesus' name. Because that's the only name that you can be saved under. And don't you walk out of that building without the baptism. You know why some of us can shout and dance? Because there was a day we was living in sin. But we recognize if God was to come back, we'd be lost. But God in his mercy
yo. Hear me, somebody. You're never going to make it without the Holy Ghost. You can try to put it together, but you're never going to make it without the Holy Ghost. There's righteousness, peace, and joy in this thing. You don't have joy because you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's Bible. He said, no, you're not, that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. You're not going to fight this battle in your flesh and come out on the victorious side. You're headed down the wrong road. But if you'll ever allow God to come inside of your heart, take away the hurt. And I know Cleveland is hurting right now. But can I tell you what Cleveland needs right now? Is they need people who are full of the Holy Ghost, who can walk out into a dry place and tell a dying world that's lost and hurting, come and see a man. Come and see Jesus. I've got the answer for your hurt. I've got the answer for a broken marriage. I've got the answer. Come see Jesus. He'll wash away the pain. He'll take away the sin. Come see Jesus. He'll make all things new. Come see Jesus. He'll make you whole. So these men, I'm getting carried away. These men, they raise him up. Notice what he does. Now, let's be honest. If that was me, and now I could walk, the first thing I would probably do is go home. The Bible never tells us if he had a wife. It never tells us if he had any kids. All we know is this man was lame. And now, he's healed. He doesn't go to his job. We don't even know if he has a job. We don't even know if he has a mom or dad. We don't know if they're alive. We don't know. But what we do know is this. The moment that he was healed, the first place that he went, see, I believe he was always had this desire to get to the church. I believe that. They laid him by the gate called Beautiful. They went to pray. I believe he had this desire just to go see what was all. It's sort of like that Ethiopian eunuch when she went to Solomon. And the Bible says she communed with everything. She told Solomon all her problems. And the Bible says that when she left him, there was no more spirit in her. But there was this eager, this desire for her to just let me peek inside of Solomon's temple. In other words, let me just peek inside of Solomon's church. I've heard all the uproar. I heard those folks lost their minds. They act a little crazy in there. Those folks, they get to run around the church. And she said, just let me go peek in there and see what all the noise is about. And the Bible says when she peeked inside Solomon's church, the Bible says happy are the maze. In other words, when she got inside Solomon's church, she saw people who were excited to be there. Come on, somebody. Here, let me just throw this at you. Let's just say this man who was broken, he decides to walk inside the Church of Pentecost. I wonder what he would find. Now, let's just calm down. It's okay. Listen. You do what you want to do. That's okay. I'm not throwing stones or cut necks spiritually. No, you do what you want to do. But I do know this. If I had some friends who was lost and they walked inside this building and they sat down, I would pray that there was more excitement in the house of God than there was when the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA title. Amen. Because God is the only one that can heal. And God's the only one that can save. And if they can get around somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, it might just rub off on them. If they can get around somebody with the Holy Ghost, amen, God just might heal them today. And it just might save them today. We have to be a church that is empowered by the Holy Ghost. So everywhere they went, they had power to lay hands on the sick. Now we're bringing it home. They have power to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Question is how bad do you want it? Where preacher, look, I've got this diagnosis. You don't know what I'm facing, so I'm going to go back and see what the doctor's got to say. And then I'm going to go put my right. Listen, I know the story. I know the protocol. I've been there before. I've had to pray for people who, so preacher, look, I'm going to the doctor on Monday, and they told me I've got to go through this radiation, and I've got to do this, and they'll go sit back in their seat and go home the same way they came. Bible says, and not by enticing words of man's wisdom, but we need a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. It's not how fancy one preaches or whether he knows theology, Greek or Hebrew. No, at the end of the day, it's not by my might or my power, but it's by his Spirit, said God. And what we need to happen right now is there needs to be somebody who'll stand up and say, preacher, I need God to come to my rescue and demonstrate how much he loves me and put my home back together and fill me with the Spirit. Because if God can demonstrate to you right now, so you'll go home and say, hey, look what the Lord has done. And the person you go home to may be broken, may be hurting. And they can see what God done for you. They'll be here tonight. They'll be the first one to altar say, Lord, if you could do it for them. If you can touch them, God, you can do it for me. Come on, let's all stand. For the Holy Ghost in the house, man. I feel the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is in this place. Now, I'm starting to learn how God operates. And I do realize that before God could ever speak things into existence, the first thing he had to do will set the atmosphere in motion. He's a God who responds to faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You're not here looking for Brother Harper. No, I don't even know your name. But you're here because life has dealt you a bad hand. You've tried everything else. You've tried AA, you've tried it their way, you've tried it this way. And the Holy Ghost said, why don't you just try it my way? Because while you're trying to figure it all out, God's already working it out. He said, Jehoshaphat, I know what you're facing. I know you got enemies coming from the north, south, and the west, but listen, be not dismayed. For reason of this multitude, because the battle you're facing is not yours, it's mine. So Jehoshaphat said, okay, I'm going to take your word. I'm going to stand on that word. So the Bible says he gets up in the morning, gets him some singers and praise singers. They go down to the brook. They start praising God. And while they're praising God, the Lord looks down and says, okay, I see what's going on there. I'm going to go behind the scenes. And the Bible says that he slew the enemy. While they were worshiping God, their minds were not on the problem, but he had a word from the problem solver. Everything's gonna be all right. Amen. With every eye closed in this building right now, amen. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care, amen, what life has dealt you in the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to hear this, preacher. Everything is going to be all right. You spent your last night worrying about the situation. You don't know how the bills are going to get paid, but the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added. I've got to seek him first, ma'am. If you'll seek him first today, sir, he'll take care of the job issue. If you'll seek him today, ma'am, he'll take care of your family. If you right now, every hand raised in this building. You see, when they were empowered, the effects of Pentecost was this. Bodies were healed. They would get tossed in jail, but revival would break out, and the jailer and his family would be saved. All because the effects of Pentecost. Right now in this building, I'm going to give an altar call right now. I don't want you looking around. I don't want you worried about the person beside you. I don't want you worried about what you brought to the table today. This is not about family. This is personal. This is about you and God right now. If you're here under the sound of my voice, I want you to hear me. If you're here today, if you've never repented of your sins, that means, Lord, I'm sorry. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm not talking about titles. I'm talking about the precious name of Jesus Christ. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, here's what's going to happen. Nobody's looking at you. I want you to keep your hand in the air. Now hear me, if you repent of your sins, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you got the Holy Ghost, you can put your hands down. But if you haven't, keep your hands in the air. Because that is called faith. If you have enough faith to recognize preacher, if he was to come back, I won't make it. God will respond to you right now. He'll respond to you right where you are. And there are people on the sound of my voice. You haven't raised your hand, and I could come call you out right now. They don't get scary. I could come grab you and say, look, sir, you need to get things right. But see, I'm not going to do that because I don't want you doing it for me. I want you to do it because you love him. So here's what's going to happen. Then nobody's looking around. Every eye is still closed. Every eye's. But those who've kept your hand in the air, I want you to raise them just a little bit higher. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Now, see, there are people, hear me, church. I don't want you looking at Brother Harper. No. You may be saying, Brother Harper, why are you doing this? It's because, yes, listen, they need Jesus. And if they can recognize, preacher, I need Jesus, we just can't sit by and let them die lost. I just can't come here and go preach again. Well, no, I've got to do something. I've got to step out of the natural and step into the supernatural. I've got to cast everything else aside because deep down on the inside, somebody's crying out for mercy and somebody's calling out for grace and somebody's saying, Jesus, if you're real, could you come to my rescue? I want you to know, ma'am and sir, he's coming to your rescue. He's coming to deliver you right now. He's coming to save you right now. And the Holy Ghost is coming to your rescue. So right now in Jesus' name, I know there's people in this building, you need a healing, and we're going to get to you too. But hear me. I've come to learn that if God doesn't heal, doesn't mean he's still not a healer. Doesn't operate on my time clock. So I'm going to open this altar right now here. I'm not calling for those of you who have repented and those of you who've already received the Holy Ghost. No. We'll get to you in a minute, but I'm calling for those who had their hands in the air, who recognize, preacher, above all else, I got to be saved. I want to get real with God. I want to serve him for the rest of my life. I'm going to open this altar for you right now, ma'am, for you, sir. I don't want you to be concerned about who's looking at you. I don't want you to be concerned what tomorrow may hold. But you gotta live in the right now while the moment is near. James said, our life is just a vapor. You may be here today, you may be going tomorrow. But by the mercy and grace of God, he granted you one more opportunity to be in his presence, to feel his glory, and to let him show his love around you. And God wants to do something right now. So those of you who are in this building, who've got your hands in the air, I want to ask you to please join me right now at this altar. Nobody's making fun of you, ma'am. Nobody's making fun of you, sir. Amen. The fact of the matter is, you need Jesus. So I'm going to open this altar right now. Those of you who had your hand in the air, I ask you to please come. I don't want you to be ashamed. I don't want you to even ponder what you're doing. I don't even want you to second guess what you're doing. I know hell is fighting you, but don't you second guess what you're doing. Shut up, oh yeah. Come on, listen. They're not the only ones. There are people still in this building. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. You may have been baptized in Jesus' name already. That's okay, but that's not all. It takes more than just baptism. You got to be filled with the Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to ask you to come right now. I'm going to ask you to get out of that pew, pry away from that seat. Let the Holy Ghost demonstrate to you right now that God can do what nobody else can do. Come on, ma'am. Come on, sir. Come on, young person. Oh, come on. He's here. He's here. He's here. Come on. Don't you wait. If you've got to put the baby down, give somebody the baby. We're talking about your soul right now. We're talking about making it to heaven. This is no game. This is no game. We're talking about your soul right now. We can shout tonight and we can rejoice tonight. But right now calls for repentance. Right now calls for washing away of sins. It calls for a deeper move and touch of God. Come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, ma'am. Come on, sir. Listen. Doesn't matter how old you are. My son was 5 years old when he came to an altar. Tears streaming down his face. Threw his little hands in the air. Talk about bringing joy to daddy's face. I laid my hand on his head and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He's still living for God today. God can still keep you in the midst of a coronavirus. God can still keep you in the midst of a pandemic. He can still keep you in the midst of a world that's gone chaotic because he's a keeper and a lover of the soul. So if you're here right now, one more, we're getting ready to pray for these right now. But if you're here, hear me. You need the Holy Ghost. You've never spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God has given you the utterance. I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to get out of that pew. Come on. I'm still reaching for your soul right now. I'm still reaching for you. You see, God is walking through the mess. He's going to walk over your sin. He's walking over your pride. And he's knocking on your heart's door. But he's not going to force himself in. He's not going to just open up the door. You've got to open up the door and let him in. And there are people here right now in the sound of my voice. You feel the convicting power of God knocking on your heart. But for some reason you don't want to open up the door to let him in. I beg with you right now. I plead with you this morning. Open up the heart and let God come in. Open up the heart and let him come in. Come on, right now in this building, will you help me pray? How long will you wait, ma'am? How long will you wait, sir? Come on, help me pray for these right now. Come on, if you believe that God can touch them and fill them, you gotta pray. If there was a time to demonstrate your power, it's right now. This is the effects of Pentecost. You've got people coming to the altar.